Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord. Stay tuned for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
God is going to have a people who will stand in earth's darkest hour, and they will not give up. You think about what standing, what enduring to the end means. It means no matter what the devil throws at you, I am not giving up. I'm putting my faith is in him. It is rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. My eyes are not on what I can get out of this world and my welfare here. It's on a kingdom that is yet to come and a Savior that is coming. The same Savior that busted out of that tomb and rose to sit on a throne is coming back, and he's going to gather his own. And I'll tell you, there's a power that he imparts to a willing heart that will carry us through everything. But he wants that to be exercised where we learn. Of course, we've used so many scriptural examples in the past. Think about Joseph and all that he went through. Think about a young man who had this vision of being in a position to help his family and even to rule over them. And how the Lord just allowed circumstances to unfold where it looked like exact opposite was going to happen. And yet God was preparing him by all that he went through. His brothers sold him as a slave. Well, he became a faithful slave. How many of you would do that? How many of you would say, well, I trusted God and look where it got me? You know, trust in God is not conditional on circumstances being the way we think they ought to be. God had a purpose in allowing him to do that. But that wasn't enough, was it? There had to come a day when Joseph was falsely accused and thrown into prison. And so he sat there and had one long pity party for years, didn't he? No, he became so, that faithfulness, that faith in action, that conviction that God was real and he was going to serve God no matter what the circumstances, he was going to be faithful. And that faithfulness was observed, and that he was put in charge of the prisoners, given a place of responsibility, and God was shaping the character. See, life is not just about what we do, what we know, and what we do in an outward sense. It's about the character of the one who does it. You know, even among natural people, we think of some people as dependable. Boy, I don't have to worry about them. If I tell them to do something, I know it's going to be done. I can go on to something else and just leave it in their hands because they're faithful. But God wants all of his children to develop that kind of a character where we're going to be absolutely dependable. And Joseph was certainly one of those people, and you saw how God brought him to that place where the day came when it was finally time, even though he tried to get out of it early, didn't he? Go argue with my case to the king. No, wasn't time. 2 more years went by. You know, we can read about that in a verse or two. But 2 years is 2 years. And he just went on. And he got up, he went to bed, he got up the next day, and it was the same. And he went to bed, and he got up another day, and it was weeks and months went by, and God, where are you? What's going on? I don't understand. You don't think those questions went through his mind? You don't think the devil was there to whisper? But I'll tell you, faith that God plants in the heart will give us a confidence that no matter what the circumstances, God is writing our story. And our life is in his hands, not ours. And so he just continued to be faithful. And the day came when God had prepared this young man to sit on a throne and to rule. Can you imagine if he just sort of waltzed into Egypt and, hey, I'm here, I'm pretty good, I'm pretty smart, put me in charge. He wouldn't have been ready, would he? And of course, everybody knows the story of David. And here's a young man who was, I believe he was the youngest son anyway, he was the one that was kind of forgotten almost. He had the job nobody else wanted. You ever feel like that? Why am I the one that has to do that? Well, he was the one that got put in charge of the sheep, and he could easily have gotten out there and just, you know, resented it and had all kinds of bad attitudes about it. And why do I have to do this? It's not important. Look at those other guys. They're doing all the important stuff. God was forming the character of one of the key figures in history. I guarantee he didn't think it was, I mean, you know, in a big picture, taking care of sheep was not a big deal. But the character of the one who faithfully did that, that's a big deal. I'll guarantee, especially young people, because we were all young once. We all remember. You're going to be asked to do things you don't want to do. You're going to be expected to step up and take responsibility for stuff. What does that matter? Why can't I do it my way? Why can't I? And we go on and on about it. Do you think is that how Jesus handled it, by the way? You think when he was growing up, he handled life that way? I'll guarantee you we need to do the right thing, we need God's help to do it. And that's the thing, whatever God has placed in our pathway to do and to handle situations and responsibilities, God will come down and give grace. He will give us everything we need. He never asks a single thing of any of his children without giving us the ability to do it, if we're willing. God help us. I don't want to have that kind of a stubborn attitude where I'm going to do it my way. I don't like this. Something's wrong. It's their fault. All the things, all the excuses that we make for human nature. I want to be one of these that when the time comes and they put a gun to my head, I've experienced enough of the Lord. I've walked with him long enough. I've humbled myself under his mighty hand that I'll be able to say, praise God, I know where my hope is. All you're doing is giving me a quick one-way ticket to heaven. Go ahead, pull the trigger. Lord, it's up to you, live or die. I want to have the same kind of a spirit that the three Hebrew children had. I know that God's able to save us, but if he doesn't, I'll tell you one thing, we ain't bowing. Praise God. Do you suppose that just kind of happened? Do you think God had developed their character over time? We don't see the details that lie behind all of those things. So I'll tell you, we need the Lord, don't we? We need a willingness to humble ourselves if we're going to be among these people. Now, I believe with all my heart that many of God's people are going to go by way of the undertaker. That's just a personal feeling. That's not any thus saith the Lord. But I believe a lot of God's people, that's happening right now. When the devil gets a deeper hold on this world, a lot of God's people are going to wind up dying for their faith. Are we going to have the grace to handle that? Do you think that maybe the things that you're going through right now might just be connected with that, or is this just random, unrelated stuff? Is God writing your story? There isn't a single person here who has any other moment to live in than right now. That's it. And so what my job is to look to God, to handle what he throws my way, what he allows in my life, and to look to him to help me to be like him in my character, in my response to stuff, and realize that he's doing something in me to get me ready for what's coming. I'm in God's school. And I don't want to just blow it off like it's unrelated. Boy, this world will absolutely just put you to sleep if you let it. It's absolutely out there to put you to sleep. I thought about something that I remembered, an old translation of a familiar scripture that we use all the time in Romans chapter 12. And I looked in a piece of software I have, and I couldn't find it. And I finally looked it up online, and I realized it was the old J.B. Phillips translation. You remember that one? Some of you older ones will remember that. It was a paraphrase. You know what a paraphrase is? That's when a translator will go back into the original and understand what was being said and how it would have been understood. Then he rewrites it the way Paul might have written it to a modern audience. Okay, so he's saying the same thing without translating, you know, with overly literal. So anyway, this is what Romans 12, 1 and 2 comes across as in the J.B. Phillips version, with eyes wide open to the mercies of God, I beg you, my brothers, as an act of intelligent worship, to give your bodies as a living sacrifice, consecrated to Him and acceptable by Him. And this was the phrase or the statement that really keeps coming back to my mind. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. That's profound, isn't it? I mean, being conformed to the world it means the same thing, but you think about what the devil's design is in modern culture. We've heard a lot of stuff lately from different people, podcasts and other things. We're talking about people needing to be culture-proof, needing to be more aware and alert about the culture and its effect on us. I'll tell you, the devil is extremely gifted at packaging his lies in a way that appeal to our carnal nature. And we can just blow through life taking stuff in, not realizing what the real wisdom behind it is and what its effect is. And without realizing it, we're kind of affected by that, and we're drawn away and made less effective for the Lord. And here's Paul saying, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. Do you think maybe it would be a good thing to say, Lord, please help me to discern? Help me to be, when there's something coming that I'm exposed to, whether it's the internet or movies or TV or whatever it is, just the people around me, give me discernment, Lord. I want to hear your voice. I want your take on it, is the way we would put it. I want to see this through your eyes because I want to serve you and I don't want to be sucked in or deceived by the spirit of this world. And Lord, I don't have the ability in myself to handle this. I'm looking to you. Wouldn't that be a good attitude and a good prayer? Because I'll tell you, God will answer that prayer. He will give you a heart that wants to please Him. Because we need to grow in our knowledge, what we know, our wisdom, and our understanding. Understanding is understanding what's going on, but then the wisdom is, okay, now what do I do with it? Oh, we need to grow, don't we? I do. There's so much stuff that happens, and we got a spirit of this age that is absolutely capturing the minds of people, and it's affecting God's people. And I'll tell you, young people, you're growing up in a world that most of us don't know anything about. It's not at all like it was when we were young. But I'll tell you, God can bring you through. God can make you champions of His faith, ready to stand in this hour, ready to be used of Him for whatever His purposes are. I don't know what that is, but I know He's faithful. So don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all His demands, and moves toward the goal of true maturity. Wow. That's some rich stuff, isn't it? Is any of this relevant to us? Do we need this? This isn't just the young people. This is all of us. We can just blunder through our daily routine, our daily lives, and not really connect the things that we believe about where the world's headed with what's happening to me today. And I want to be like David and just be faithful and worship God and just do whatever comes to my hand with a heart that says, God, I want to be faithful. Because faithfulness is a quality that is usually developed doing stuff that we don't think is important. Didn't Jesus talk about that? He talked about who is a faithful servant later on in Matthew 24, who just faithfully does what the Lord has given to him to do. But also he talks later on about those who are given different amounts of money, talents, and what they do with it. But there's a principle in there. The one who is faithful in little will be faithful in much. That's the one that I'm going to put in the position of responsibility, because they've proved they're going to be faithful with the little things. I can give them something else and I know they're going to handle it. They're going to look to me. Their character has been formed by their faith. Because that's what faithfulness is. It's character and life that has been informed by our faith. May God translate the things that he has given us to do and to believe into ways that will absolutely get us ready. I don't know if much else necessarily needs to be said, but I feel like this is the burden of the Lord. I know he loves the young people. I know he loves all of us. I don't know what lies ahead. But it's that serious. We have brothers and sisters right now who are languishing in prison, who are being killed. And I'm not going to stand here and say, yeah, I'm ready, bring it on. When those things start happening, we're going to need the Lord. I want to walk with him now so that I can allow him to write my story and get me ready so that when that day comes, I'll already know what to do. It won't be, oh, God, you warned me about this, but it wasn't happening, so I didn't pay much attention. Now here I am. I want to be one that was faithful in all of the little things along the way. Lord, I want to learn how not to get mad. I want to learn how not to blame other people when you're working on something in here. I want to learn to trust you when I need something and there's a need and I don't seem to have it and I need your provision for this. All the things that human nature just seems to cling to and thrive on, God is going to teach us to trust. And he's going to use every experience to train us. Now, one of the things he uses to train us is when we mess up. Now, that's not an excuse to mess up. But think about Peter. How many times have we pointed him out? Here was somebody that was mightily used of God, powerfully used of God. And boy, was Peter ready. Lord, they may all deny you, but I never will. Well, the Lord knew what was behind that, and I'm sure he probably laughed a little bit in one sense, but God knew something had to happen. And the devil was going to try to take him down. Lord, can I tempt Peter? And the Lord said, go ahead. But isn't it wonderful that Jesus prayed for him? Here's Jesus facing the cross. A cross where he just didn't die for everybody. He died for you. And you, and you, and you, and me, by name. That burden was falling upon him. And he was sitting there not so self-absorbed in all that was happening to him, but he took time to pray for Peter. And what did he pray? That his faith would not fail. Praise God. See, that's the victory that overcomes the world. I need something that comes from heaven if it's going to carry me through those kind of situations. But Peter had to go through that to discover what he was made of. And that serving God and standing fast in all the things that are going to come that the Lord had promised were going to come to him, that wasn't about human strength. That's what Peter was made of. I know I can do it. And the Lord had to show him, you know, you can't. And boy, it was a bitter lesson. And I'm sure he went to sunk into the depths of despair. Lord, surely you're going to throw me in the trash can now. I failed you so utterly. I promised, and look what I did. Oh, God. And Jesus reached down tell my disciples and Peter, make sure he gets included. He knows he's part of it. And then he reaches out to him and says, Peter, when you were young, you girded yourself. You were the one who said, I'm going to go out and do stuff. I girded myself, and I went where I wanted to go. Man, it was in me to do it. He says, but when you're old, you'll stretch forth your hand, and another will gird you and carry you where you don't want to go. That's a pretty good picture of his ministry. And Peter served the Lord and was persecuted and ultimately crucified himself. And he never denied the Lord again, even when he was crucified, because the Lord had taught him where true strength comes from. And so even in his failure, God was training him to be one of those who endures to the end. Why? Not because I'm strong, but because he is faithful. And because he's faithful to the end, he is enabling me to be one of those that's faithful to the end. God wants everyone here to be faithful to the end. But here's coming back to the central thought is, do you ever relate that general picture to what's happening this afternoon and in the morning, in the middle of the day and tomorrow and the next day and all of the little stuff that just seems so unimportant when God is giving every one of us an opportunity to make choices that will strengthen that faithfulness, that will translate stuff that we know we're not supposed to go around and get mad at everybody. I mean, show me in the scripture where we're supposed to do that. Is that Christ in us doing that? But we do it. And you wonder why the Lord sends somebody in your life to push your buttons? As we said many times, it's because you got them. And the Lord is going to train us to be his children, going to train us to be his soldiers, going to train us to be a people that will endure faithfully to the end and be used of him. I want to be somebody where he says, there's somebody, I've put them to the test, I've put their feet to the fire, I've allowed Satan to attack them, I've put them through many kinds of circumstances, and their faith has never failed. They have continued to look to me. Even when they've messed up, they've come to me and looked to me for cleansing and forgiveness because I'm faithful to forgive them. Thank God for his faithfulness. His faithfulness will never fail. But he's taking every one of his children and forming our character so that we will be faithful to the end. I want to be one of those, don't you? May God bring what we hear here to our hearts and to our minds every single day and begin to relate it to the stuff that happens and realize he's writing my story. That didn't happen by accident. That's not just that big bad devil. God sent him. Why would he do that? Because I needed a battle. I needed to make a choice to fight, to trust God, to look to him, to do the right thing, to gain the ability to act and react the way God wants me to be. Praise God. Is God faithful? We know he is. I want to be one that is. And I know that he's going to faithfully bring every one of his children all the way through. I know that I don't have what it takes to stand up under what he's describing in the scriptures. But I know he does. And I know just the way we see the examples of people who have believed God through the scriptures. You read Hebrews 11. We've seen ordinary people who are just like us. And God has put his spirit upon them, worked in their lives, and used them in all kinds of ways. And I don't care if when the time comes, that people look back and say, wow, there was somebody, there was a real hero. I don't care about my place in all of this. That's not important. I want his place, and I want whatever place he has for me. It's not about me. It's about him. He is worthy. Is he worthy? Yes. Is he worthy of people who will serve him like that and trust him in every kind of circumstance? Is he worthy? Yes. Yes, he is. And God will be faithful to give us the grace. May we be faithful to take hold of it and use it and become the kind of people he wants us to be. Praise God.
This has been the Midnight Cry broadcast. If you would like a DVD or CD of today's message in its entirety, please request it by program number. While it is not required, a donation of $10 for DVDs and $5 for CDs is suggested to help with expenses. Also, for those who request it, we will send you our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, free and postage paid. Send your requests to Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina, 28388. We invite you to join us again next week at the same time, and may God richly bless you until then.